Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
Patriots Monday with a little bit of Celtics thrown in. So Tatum is here for the long haul, at least for the next 4 years. There'll be an option after that fourth year, but awful lot of money, and it could go up even higher in that fifth year. Gordon Hayward is Gonzo Dunsky here in New England. He is headed down to Charlotte. And to this point, Celtics get nothing in return. To answer your point about players leaving Boston, Kyrie and Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, Jackie McMullen on The Jump on ESPN. There was some buzz around the league after Gordon Hayward left. Do people not want to play in Boston? It's something that Jim brought up last week on Greg Hill's show. I totally agree with him. I don't think a lot of these guys want to play in Boston, guys.
That's my point.
They don't.
That is my point.
They don't.
So now
you argued this the other way last week.
So. No, I did not.
They're all different cases.
You probably shouldn't eat when the show starts.
No, probably
not. I think they're all different. Like, Gordon Hayward looked at it, doesn't fit here anymore. Like, Kyrie Irving, I'm not going to blame the Boston Celtics for Kyrie Irving leaving. Guy's an egomaniac. I think most people wanted him gone.
What about Al?
Al Horford? Yeah, listen, I don't know. He looked at this team like they weren't going to win. Kyrie had left, and he was going to get one more payday, and it wasn't going to be here the whole time about this guy. But nobody was really that upset that he left. Like, you haven't lost somebody, like, listen, if they didn't sign Jason Tatum that extension and he left in 2 years, okay, then we can have that discussion. But these guys that left,
nobody wanted them. Yeah, you're saying like nobody, but nobody cares. Nobody cares that you say nobody wanted them. The fact is, the perception is that nobody, once you get there, if they convince you to sign here and play here, once they get here, they want to leave.
I know one guy that wanted to come back, the little guy.
I see his name. I know. Just please bring him back.
He's still doing it out
just
there.
Bring
I feel
him
bad.
Back.
I feel bad for him. I would say the chances are slim now, unless they're bringing him on like a two-way contract. Is he going to do that? Let's get reaction. Get to the phone calls. Charlie is in Arlington. Charlie, hello, Charlie.
So, yeah. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Hey. So, with regards to Ainge, so you know, I think part of Ainge's issue is I think we give him way too much credit. I don't think him and thanks Dad Austin are probably the most competent given what they've shown so far. And while I somewhat agree with you, it could have been an ownership call in terms of luxury tax. I think they could have done a much better job in terms of finding a place for him to land and getting something back in return. With regards to what you just talked about in terms of the Jeff Goodman article, I couldn't agree with you more. And I point to Ainge and Brad Stevens as not being the most attractive combo to a lot of incoming A-plus free agents to come and want to play here.
We're back to that again.
Yeah, but I don't think coaches or general managers are what attract players. Players attract players.
I don't agree. No, I don't agree. I don't agree. I think if you have a player's coach in here that appeals to a certain type of A-plus free agent, I think that probably goes a long, long way to get that guy to decide to come to a city like Boston. I really do. I don't think, like, if somebody said to you, would you go play because of Brad Stevens? I mean, I don't think any players would ever say, yeah, I'm going to that team because of Brad. Would they go because of Popovich?
Well, I agree, A-plus, you know, type of free agent. I don't consider Gordon Hayward or Al Horford A-plus free agents. They're the next tier, next level, barely third team, All-NBA, probably not. Even when they signed him, people were all excited because Al Horford signed here. We got to finally get a free agent. It was a nice free agent. He had a nice career.
It was a start.
It was a start. Overrated career, but that's a start. And then Gordon Hayward was a nice piece. I don't think Gordon Hayward was an A-plus free agent.
No.
A-plus free agent, you're talking about top five, top ten player in the league.
They can't get those type of players here. And
For a couple of years. We'll see what Tatum becomes. Right. Jaylen Brown, who knows?
Right. You have to have those two guys become top ten players. And then maybe at that point, you'll be able to, not the coach, but those two players as top ten players will be able to attract another top ten player. Brad is in Warwick. Hey, Brad.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo.
Hey, listen, if Ainge was holding out with the Pacers for more, that was the right move, because I don't see any discernible difference between Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague versus Miles Turner and Dylan McDermott. Neither of those combinations puts you over the top.
That's a different discussion.
Anyway.
I don't think anything makes you a championship, but you don't think Miles Turner is better than Tristan Thompson?
Not enough to put you over the top in the conference. I mean, really, what's the difference? If it's Miles Turner instead of Thompson, are you looking at the Celtics?
Are you a better team with Miles Turner and Doug McDermott than you are with those other two guys?
Not really.
This is getting it doesn't matter.
Getting
it
weird
doesn't matter.
Now.
You still got bigger problems.
Yeah, I don't think either one of those.
I should have expected it.
Miles Turner's not going to. Well, I think you have a different feeling when it comes to Miles Turner. The reason that Indiana is trying to get rid of Miles Turner is because Sabonis is a better player. And when they put Turner out there on the floor with Sabonis, Turner suddenly doesn't play at a high level anymore. So he's a flawed player. The Miles Turner is not the superstar.
Well, okay, you're going to the call. Okay, to that point then, I think it might be a good time. I told you about Zach Lowe. He's on a podcast talking about the contracts that were offered. He had this to say, which is a twist, because I thought we all thought that Danny was in on Miles Turner.
I just don't think they really wanted Miles Turner. And I did hear from some teams around the league that the Celtics have done some preliminary research on what Miles Turner's trade value would have been to them had they acquired him either in this deal or in a separate deal, and obviously didn't like what they saw. They made a pretty conscious choice, I think, if this reporting is accurate, if the reporting around the league that Gary Washburn and others put out about Miles Turner being the proposed centerpiece is accurate, and I think it is, they made a conscious choice. I'd rather have Tristan Thompson at 9.5 and then 9.5 than Miles Turner at 18, 18, 18. I think that's really interesting, and it's not the choice I expected Boston to make.
So there you go. They might not have been interested in him.
Yeah. I mentioned that already, that I don't think
but
they
were necessarily
interested.
But financially, does that make sense? You get Miles Turner in return. You say, well, there's not much difference between these guys other than what you're paying them, right?
Well, that's a big
And then financially,
difference.
I know, but you could still come out and then you'd be able to at least acquire more bodies. And you acquired Miles Turner for Hayward. You could then go and address other issues, right? Mid-level or whatever you could do with it.
No, you're strapped because you're over the cap. So you are now strapped. So
you wouldn't have been able to acquire another body.
No, that number
if you made
changes.
That turn.
Nope,
if you're the Boston Celtics.
Nope, you lose the $9.3 million. You're down to $5.7 million, $5.6 million with a mid-level exception. You're getting in the NBA. You're getting nobody. See, that's what I mean. That
yeah,
all has
getting,
a domino.
You're Jeff Teague.
Every move
and
you
Miles
make.
Miles Turner.
No, they got they
and
got
Doug McDermott.
They got Teague with another exception. Huh. The fact is that every move you make in the NBA puts you over a level that changes your flexibility. As I told you, if Indiana's going to do the sign and trade, they suddenly become hard capped. I know it's confusing, but they're hard capped. It means they lose all flexibility. They can't do anything. So it's a very complicated process. But Turner at 18, 18, and 18, if he doesn't work out with your team, you bring him in here, he's hard to get rid of. Indiana's trying to get rid of him. They have been for a while. Sabonis is the guy out there now, not Turner. And they can't find a taker for Turner. So I think that very well could be part of it, that Danny looked at it and said, I don't really like Turner. He doesn't fit into what we're doing. He's a really inconsistent up-and-down player, and I got to take him on for 3 years at $18 million a year? I mean, okay. that's a hard decision I think you've got to make. Steven is in Orlando. Steven.
Hey, fellas. How are you today?
What's up?
So I got two parts to this. So two parts on Gordon Hayward. First off, I 100% agree with you, Glenn. I think it comes down to the fact that they were going to have to take on Turner at 3-18, and then a bunch of trash, or McDermott, a contract you don't want, nor the player you want. And it probably got to a point where they looked and said, we're having to take on too much just to make this happen. So that, I agree 100% with what you've been saying, Glenn. The second part of this is...
Wait, can I ask you a question? Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why wouldn't you want Doug McDermott, what he does, or that contract?
Because he can't play a lick of defense, and he got lit up by Miami in the playoffs.
And you got to play defense in the playoffs. He's the Brian Scalabrine of 2020. We don't need that guy.
Doug McDermott, the guy that shoots 43% from three and has got 1 year left at 7.6. How bad is that contract?
And you just drafted
at 7.6, Stephen.
And you just drafted a guy that can do the same thing on a rookie contract.
Yeah, the Pats just drafted two tight ends. Don't worry about it.
We can get carried away about that.
Right there. All right, good call, Lou. Good call. But the second part of my question is, or second part of my question for you guys is, I'm pretty in tune, even from Orlando, with what goes on. But where was the betrayal that Gordon felt from the Celtics? Because year one, freak injury, nothing you can do about that. But Celtics gave him resources and everything to come back. Year two, it almost seemed like Brad forced him in and gave him as much time and opportunities to get back. And in year three, he was killing it until he broke his hand. So where was the betrayal? What am I missing?
I don't know where the betrayal is. I don't know if that report is true or not. Because for a team that paid him a lot of money and sat there and supported him throughout every single situation that he had, I don't know whether...
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Again, that's why, Steven, I don't know if that report is even accurate or not. Or I don't know. Maybe somebody exaggerated. Maybe it has more to do...
His role changed.
Role changed. So he feels betrayed that Tatum was actually good and Brown was actually good.
Yeah. He came here. He's going to be part of a duo of him and Kyrie Irving, right? That's what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Originally, Isaiah, I guess. But that's what it was going to be. So it suddenly changed to where Tatum and Brown were suddenly main cogs in this thing. What was he, the fourth wheel? Because Marcus Smart, is taking more shots than
fourth.
Then you get Kemba in here as well. It changes everything. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's happy going to Charlotte, where he's going to be the man down there. He's going to have a rookie point guard. He's going to be the guy. Who else is going to shoot down there? It's going to be him.
The only real explanation, and I'm sure this is the way it'll get twisted because Danny's here and all the reporters now have to deal with him, so they'll back him, is that he didn't want Miles Turner. That would be it, because I'd still go back to like the delay of the opt-out date for 2 days. Why?
No, but see, there's a big difference between...
Why delay it if Charlotte's off there? If you're going to take the money, why delay it? Because you're waiting, hoping that Danny can pull the trade off. And Danny wasn't able to do it.
Well, my guess is that the delay was that Gordon Hayward's agent is basically telling him he's going to sign somewhere else. And Danny's asking them to give him 48 hours.
All right, so but if you really wanted the money, why would you even give him the option?
Because he could have got a trade exception out of Indiana. He could have gotten something out of it. A $20 million trade exception, which he could use next year in the offseason to be able to work out a deal that gives you $20 million free money.
Yeah, so he was unable to work out a deal with Indiana.
Right.
That's why they extended it. He was unable to work out a deal, so they took the money. They gave him 2 days to do it, and he couldn't. Correct?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's questioning that, Lou. The delay was clearly so you could work out a deal with Indiana, and Hayward had himself a deal elsewhere here. And as we now know,
he didn't want to accept.
Who didn't want to accept?
Hayward.
What are you talking about? He accepted it.
He didn't want to, though. Why would you extend the offer if you wanted to accept 120 down in Charlotte? Why wouldn't you just accept it?
Well,
you gave 2 days because you didn't want to accept
it. Okay, so is it
you wanted to go to Indiana, and they couldn't work out a deal.
So my guess is, and this is a pure guess on my part, that when Michael Jordan made that phone call over the weekend to him, that number was up to $120 million. Probably wasn't there. So it was probably in the similar plateau with the other offers he had on the table.
Yeah, and because Atlanta couldn't pull the trigger on a trade, the offer got upped.
And Michael Jordan just said, screw it, I'm going to give you whatever you want.
Because they slow played it.
Whatever you
want. Danny thought he had leverage, and he got backdoored.
All right, 617-779-7937. That's our phone number here on OMF. We'll get into more of the Celtics. We'll get into Cam Newton and the Patriots losing that game yesterday. All still to come.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Hi, back here on OMF. So where do the Celtics stand after the weekend? Pretty much in the same position they were in a year ago, and maybe they drop down a notch, maybe two, depending on what these other teams are doing. Certainly Milwaukee looks like they get better. Miami, better. Philadelphia, we'll see, right?
What do you mean? They got much better. That ton. What do you mean? They just signed Jason Tatum. Doesn't that count for something?
He was already there.
He was there. Oh, it is. They just gave him more.
That was, I tell you what, though, because that would have been starting to concern me a little bit, right? So I'm glad that they, you know, they ended up signing Jason Tatum, 5 years, 195?
Up to 195, yeah. Correct.
So, we were talking about, you know, this year, I don't know what they're going to be. They take a step back. Are they not serious contenders? You know, I think a lot of people felt better about the team last year going into the year than they do right now, and we'll see. They can still add a piece. I don't know what the hell they can do, but and if they take a step back, does it start getting in the back of Jason Tatum's mind? Like, what am I doing here? You know, the other superstars in the league start talking to him, hey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, where are you guys going? You know what I mean? Look at Kemba's knees all
You're
beat up. Look how
time.
Many games he missed this year. It's just you and Jalen. You know, where are you guys going? You know, you have no space, cap. I mean, over here, look what we're doing. Look what we're building over here. By the way, let me show you this mansion you could out there in Scottsdale, LA, or whatever.
You're using Arizona.
Well, I'm just saying, he always liked Phoenix before the draft, right? So,
yeah.
But locking him up kind of takes that. So now you got him and Jalen Brown, at least for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I get a little bit.
Are we back to Danny Ainge sort of being like, okay, I got a couple years to show these guys that we're building something?
No,
Danny's still building something?
Here's what's
going
on.
We're back there again, huh?
Here's what's going on. Danny Ainge can't get a top five, top ten player. He can't attract one of those big players to come here. So his alternative is, I'm going to build with the youth. And, you know, the Green Teamers, and I think the Celtic fan base, is going to be willing to go along with that. I think they're willing to
hang in
there.
They'll go along with anything you say.
Yeah, I think they'll go along with it. Because I was getting a little bit nervous when I we got to Friday night, and DeAndre Fox, he signs that that new deal, and then Donovan Mitchell signs that new deal, and I'm sitting there going, I thought Friday night we would hear that Tatum was going to do the same thing. And then, obviously, a day we find out he's in. Locks him in what they're going to be, Lou, and that is they are going to be a developmental team. They're going to be a cute little team. They're going to win enough games during the regular season to get people excited. They're going to have some fun, entertaining players, certainly in those two guys. And yet, when it comes to the playoffs, they're just not going to be good enough.
Yeah, the thing, the stat that kind of, that I saw over the weekend, it was that Peyton Pritchard, their new their first round pick out of Oregon, is older than Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
No. I know that's it's just amazing the amount when you think about Jason Tatum, what he has accomplished at such a young age. And I'm just going to use the contract as the jumping off point to be able to sign that contract so quickly. And you're not even 24 years old, and here comes this other guy who decides to stay in college for 4 years, and you're so much more experienced than him. And then he's older than you.
You can do this, Christian, with the age.
I think that's nuts.
You can look top superstars in the league at age 22. Go back and look at their numbers at age 22. And I think Jason Tatum probably is going to be comparable to any of them. You can look at Jimmy Butler, for an example, who's a fairly polished player right now, and go back and look to what his numbers were. And Jaylen Brown's numbers were better at 23 than what you got with Butler. So you can look at those two players and say if they continue developing at the normal pace, you have two superstars in the league. That's what the Celtics are doing.
So here's the thing.
Because they can't attract any of these other guys.
So I don't think you can say, hey, they haven't gotten any better. I think if you look at Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, go look at their growth, their development. So two guys, you can say, listen, let's just do it. Let's compare Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. I get Steph Curry. I get it, what they've accomplished now. But back when they were younger, there's two guys that got progressively better and better, and then you started putting pieces around them. You got, you know, random guys. You got veteran role players. They were able to win a championship without Kevin Durant. They built that team from the ground up. They developed, they drafted, they coached them up. Why can't the Celtics do the same thing?
Because these guys are too young.
It's three years away from being
in that position.
Okay, so my point is that what you're betting on now is the ultimate growth and ceiling of those two players. Those two players are Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. That's who they are. You're building around them. You signed them both. You've locked them both up. Now, how much better can they get? Can they get progressively better? Can Jaylen Brown become an all-star? Because you really need them both to be all-stars. You can't just have one guy be an all-star. They both need to do it. So if you think that's possible, then I would say in 2 years, you got a pretty damn good team.
Yeah, but that's what they're
doing.
You're better than cute.
They can't do that. Then you're just tread water.
I'm looking at Steph Curry's numbers right now. Okay?
All right.
He scored 18 points a game when he was 22.
Okay,
18 points a game, all right? Then he got it up to, when he became 25, to 24. And then to 26, 30 points. And he's averaged every year above 25 points
a
game.
Was that Steph?
That's Steph Curry.
Okay, what about Klay? Because I think that Klay Thompson should be the next comp, because you need them both to grow at the same time. And then I think, because that is the template that I'm going to use. Who gave a crap about Golden State, Lou?
Okay, I agree. Are you confident in Danny Ainge now? Or is it wavering?
What do you mean am I confident
to be
in
able
Danny
to put
Ainge?
That team around him?
Well, I would say
because I
no.
Feel like we
you know,
keep
I would say no because
wheels.
Kevin Durant didn't show up until they had already become a great team. Steph Curry was an MVP. Klay Thompson was a stud in his own right. Draymond Green became a stud. These are guys that they drafted, they developed. That became the core. And then what they did was Jack's out and Steve Kerr. Then they won a championship the very next year. So I would say if you want hope, if you want something to compare yourself to, that would be it.
Yeah.
I would say that's possible.
But that's the only route that they can go, guys, because they can't attract that top five player. They tried to get Kevin Durant here. You know, they brought Kelly Olynyk, and they went all out, brought him
Kelly
in on the whole. Remember? They brought him in, and it didn't work. They can't get that type of player. So the only alternative they have right now is to do it this way. And that's what they're doing. I mean, Tristan Thompson, you know, is he's an upgrade from Enes Kanter. That's what he is, guys.
Listen, I don't hate Tristan Thompson. I mean, whatever. He's like, you know, big depth that you kind of needed. Again, Teague. I would have liked it, like, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
That Teague, not this one
he
here.
He struggled when he came back to Atlanta this year.
Yeah, I just worry that, you know, Danny was kind of, he pulled that one beautiful trade with Jersey, and he got and he did it into you know, Kyrie Irving. It didn't work. And then, you know, Al Horford, okay. That helped you, a cute little team. Gordon Hayward, you were brought in here, and these guys developed. But now it's like, okay, now what? What's the next step? Because we know this, a lot of this stuff can't really happen overnight. You know, it takes, okay, where are we? You know, is Kemba Walker a guy that's going to get moved to kind of free up to bring in another piece to go along with these two guys? You know, where are they right now? And are they just are we just sort of in a rebuild with two
so
very good players?
The problem they have is they have two max contract guys in Kemba Walker and now in Jason Tatum starting a year from now. They have Jaylen Brown close to a max contract. So they don't have great flexibility. They don't. So, yeah, I would say Kemba's a guy that you're possibly going to see moved here because 3 years from now he's going to be getting $37 million.
Let me just kick this around. So you did Klay Thompson, right? No, you did have Curry.
I did
Steph
Curry.
Here's Klay Thompson.
Two.
Two? All right, so he's 16 points per game. That was his second year in the league. Jaylen Brown at 22, 13 points. So right now I use 23 because Jaylen Brown is 23 years old and he's averaging 20 points per game. Klay Thompson, at the same age, is averaging 18. So that's a pretty good comp when you think about it. Because when Klay Thompson became 24 to when he's 28, he was averaging between 20 and 22 points a game. So there's half the battle right there. You have one guy, but you need Jason Tatum to be the MVP. I think that's the biggest difference. Can he be an MVP in 2 years?
Well,
True might be a stretch.
I think both these guys are great. But I just look at where Danny Ainge was like 3 or 4 years ago, acquiring talent, you know, whether it was, you know, making it all fit on a team or not might have been a different discussion. You know, having the guys like Jaylen and Tatum come up and you got Gordon there as well. And here comes Kyrie. Here comes Kemba. And, you know, Al Horford's in the mix. And it's sort of like we're acquiring talent. And we're going to kind of build from there. I got all these assets, try to find a way to make it all fit. And all the assets walked out the door.
It failed.
I mean, all the assets walked out the door, you know, and all the big ones. And now you're sort of in this deal here with what happened in Indiana, and it was like, are you always going for the kill shot? You know, are you always going for, you know, for you to absolutely win the deal as opposed to just sort of, you know, just if you grabbed a guy like Miles Turner and whatever came with it, are you a better basketball team? You know, did you go get a rim protector, a guy that basically leads the league in blocks each and every year? We keep talking about rim protector. That guy was right there. Were you not 100% all in? You know, you didn't going to win the deal, so you didn't pull it off?
I don't think it's
That's the thing that concerns me.
I don't think it's a matter of winning the deal.
Well, maybe it is.
I think what people are doing is they're making it a personal thing, like it's an ego thing. Like Danny's got to win you win the deal by proving your team so that you have a better year. So I would say this, that Danny has taken different courses along the way. One was Kyrie to match him up with Anthony Davis, right? We all knew that's what they wanted to do. It failed.
So you got this guy here. Failed. I wanted to talk about this guy here. Scott Akness is his name. He's a reporter out in Indianapolis. He has his own, covers the Pacers, has his own podcast, has Gordon Hayward on his podcast before. He tweeted out, G was willing to take a hometown discount. Someone responded, so basically it's on Ainge. What I've gathered, it never got anywhere. Ainge wanted far too much considering G could leave on his own, and he did. And I don't know, it's just a guy that obviously calling up G has had him on his podcast. To me, Gordon was willing to take a little bit less to go to Indiana, and Danny couldn't find a fit.
Yeah, but if
Danny couldn't make it work.
But if Danny didn't want Miles Turner, you're much higher on Miles Turner, I think, than a lot of other people.
Well, I am, yeah, because he's not on your team. If he was on your team, everybody would love this guy, and we'd be talking about how he's a perfect fit. Because that's what everybody kept saying for 2 weeks when he was on the radar, but fell through. Now he's.
Yeah, I think I've said this.
It's a shocker.
I've said this before.
You were on Miles Turner.
No,
I said Miles Turner.
No, I did not. I said Miles Turner's got some good things.
Now you're not on Miles Turner.
He also has got some bad things. He's got some bad things. He's an okay player, he's an underachiever. Okay, he should be a better player.
We're talking about Miles Turner and McDermott like before this thing was going through and you were liking that deal. Now you're happy he didn't do it because you don't like either player.
No, I actually like the Turner and Oladipo because I'd take Oladipo. I like Oladipo a lot. But I think when you look at Turner, the problem is you got him for 18, 18, and 18.
Yep.
If you had him for 18 for 1 year, it's a financial deal. You can get rid of him after. It's an expiring contract. So you either find that he works out with your team or he doesn't, you can get rid of him. When you bring in a guy at 18, 18, and 18, you're obligated. You're locked in. All right, we'll talk about the Celtics a little bit later on. We want to get into this Cam Newton. Has anybody noticed that he's getting passes battered down an awful lot? Why is that? We'll get some of it up next right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Destination for Boston sports fans. It's OMF on EEI.
As the Bible says, my cuppeth runneth over it.
My cuppeth?
Is that exactly it? Old Testament or New Testament?
He's referring to the Old Testament, Christian.
Oh, okay.
My cuppeth runneth over.
I don't know why he's doing it in Elizabethan. Like, that's the kind of language you would get in Shakespeare. Like
from a Shakespearean, yeah.
My cuppeth exactly.
Runner overeth.
As the Bible says, my cuppeth runneth over. No,
as the Bible said. He's overacting too, isn't he?
A little bit.
My cuppeth runneth over.
It's my cup runneth over.
Hey, Cam, how do you feel? Indescribable. Unbelievable.
So Cam had had J.J. Watt bat down 4 passes during the course of the game yesterday. One of them, by the way, could have been disastrous if Cam didn't switch and play defense and knock the ball down to the ground, because that one easily could have been picked off. Did he sound a little sensitive after the game and again this morning when he was talking about J.J. Watt doing this?
J.J. Watt had 4 batted passes in the game. Was there anything specific that was leading to those, you know, pass damage?
J.J. Watt.
Because he didn't go high to get the ball. He doesn't get 4 batted passes every game, so was there anything specific that he was doing or the offense was doing?
He's J.J. Watt. He's an all-pro, perennial all-pro. He's a defensive player of the year, one of the best players in this generation. So for us, you know, it is what it is. They get paid too, you know. So for us to go against that, I'm not saying we fold up the tent, but at the same time, they're going to make plays just like we're going to make plays.
So I have no problem with him talking about J.J. Watt, and he's right. He's a great, great player. The problem I have is that this has become a pattern. This isn't just because they took on J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans yesterday. This is an issue that he's had dating back to Carolina. We saw it yesterday with the Hail Mary pass. He can't come over the top. Can he throw for distance?
There was obvious why he reacted the way he did. Like, okay, so he's things that stand out to me. He's a pro, really. He gets paid too. We get it. He's a perennial. Like, let's build him up as high as possible so I can explain that, listen, he's really good. It's not me. This is him deflecting. Because I will say that J.J. Watt has never had 4 passes knocked down in a game.
Ever.
And I would also say the last time a defensive lineman had that many was 15 years ago. It was the most in 15 years. So, I mean, which is absurd. This is a career best. This is like something you go, wow, it's never going to get this easy. And I will even add this, Lou, and you saw it also. Some of those passes that were knocked down, I feel like all he did was just put his hands up. He wasn't even like jumping. They were so low.
They were so low that it wasn't like J.J. Watt, like, with this crazy vertical leap, like, knocking it down in the air. No, he was almost hitting him in the head.
Well, yeah, a lot of times see those, like, those replays from that angle. You sit there and say, man, how did he get that ball through, right? Like, the ball gets through and guys are jumping everywhere. But with Cam, he doesn't exactly have the quickest release.
No.
Right? Like, the minute he winds up, and you're talking about, like, you got plenty of time.
Yeah.
To time it, to jump, to get your hands up. There is no sit in a pocket, zip. Right? It is sit in a pocket. Oh, there he is. Hold on. And then let it go. Like, the wind up, it takes so long. I imagine that has to play in the fact how easy it is to block his passes the line of scrimmage.
I would
think
so.
You see it coming.
Yeah. And we know that once there's film out in something like this, especially with J.J. Watt doing what he did, and I agree with Christian, I don't think he leaped much to put his hands on that ball. You're going to see more and more hands up, more and more coming at Cam doing that. So what is it, and is it his release is down here someplace?
I think
6'5".
He can't get it up.
Very good.
I think there's a little bit to what Lou said, and I also feel like if you go back to the very first game of the season, a lot of those screen passes, I mean, they're getting knocked down. I feel like he either sidearms it, he doesn't throw it over the top. I don't know what it is, but that's a nerve. Like, he was obviously irritated by that because that's something I think they've been working on. And then two of those passes that were broken up, one was on third down, the other one was on fourth down, both in the last 3 minutes. Like, that's the one thing we can't do. Like, we just flat out might as well not even run the play. The receiver doesn't get a chance to catch it and run with it. You don't get an opportunity to actually prove that you can do it. It's just a wasted play. And all because you just couldn't find the right alley. Like, because you wouldn't throw it. I think there is some technique to it. I think it's a skill. Like, you know, because I even say on some of the screen passes, they come in hot. They come in from the side. They come at these weird angles, and they're just tough to catch. So he's either early or he's late or he's forcing it.
Well, a lot of times, too, you used to see, like Tom sometimes would almost, like, fake a pass to one side, right, and then dump it to his left, right, as opposed to just staring down the little screen pass and then winding up and throwing it over there to get it blocked. Like, just like, you know, if the screen's off to your left, like, look in the center field, fake to get a guy to jump a little bit, then throw it to the left.
See, yeah, and he's just
eyes everything down.
I mean, his arm, he's all arm. So let's go to the Hail Mary pass. The Hail Mary pass.
You love this pass.
No, I have nothing against it.
Yes, you do.
I just feel like, I mean, where's the arm strength? Like, you think that was fine.
Well, we had
the bird pass was pretty good. That one, I'll give him credit.
We had this discussion. The bird pass was beautiful.
Yeah.
Because we went back and looked at this play before the show, Glenn, and we were trying to figure out how he threw the ball, 58 yards? I think something like that. Mm. And I was like, well, that's not bad, right? Christian lost his ever-loving mind. You're a professional quarterback in this league. Would you tell me, like, your knees, 50 yards,
well, no.
Everything you got?
Okay, because I sat there and said, okay, fine. It's like, oh, that's pretty good.
We go back and look at Cordell.
We went back and looked at Cordell Stewart.
Where did he throw it from? I got to see it.
74 yards?
Okay, my point to you is that
Flutie threw the ball like 69 yards or something like that in Miami.
A professional baseball player that's only throwing 80 miles an hour.
Then you're not a professional baseball player.
I mean, really? I mean, you better have, but maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe you got some control. Maybe you're a knuckleballer.
But is 59 that bad? I'm asking you.
Yes, it is bad.
That's all he's got.
Okay,
what is Aaron Rodgers? The best in the business.
No, forget about him.
What does he throw?
He's older.
An old man.
Okay, yeah. I would say go to some of the younger quarterbacks, and I've actually seen this.
Josh Allen.
From his knees.
Yeah.
From his knees? From his knees. Patrick Mahomes all day long. Justin Herbert all day long. Any young quarterback, Deshaun Watson, you don't think he can throw it 70 in the air?
That's a long way. You showed Cordell Stewart was 74 yards, and I'm like, you can do this?
I'm not saying anyone. The young quarterbacks, professional quarterbacks, should be able to throw the ball 65 yards in their sleep.
Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger. No.
I don't know about Brady because he's 40 freaking million years old, but he should be able to do this.
Did anyone else think that, can you just bring in a quarterback cold like Stidham to see if he can throw it 65 yards?
You don't think Stidham could throw it 65 yards in his sleep?
65 to 70 yards.
No, don't buzz him. Yes, he can.
Why would he come in there to throw that ball if you know Cam can't reach?
I don't know. I don't know. I would say that when we look at some of these other quarterbacks, I mean, they're putting every last thing they have into this throw. He should have been able to make. He was like 12 yards short. I mean, I feel like that's embarrassing. Like, you can't get it there.
Listen,
Why? Wait, that's a problem.
He was not the problem yesterday.
I'm not saying he was. Right, I'm saying that he's got no arm strength.
You know the best part about it?
I don't think he's not the solution for this team right now. He isn't.
It's a different conversation.
It is.
We're talking about a weak as
part of the problem. Those last 10 seconds or 11 seconds got Izzo 59 total yards receiving. The first one was like 10 yards out, and then he threw a bomb to him to get him 59 yards.
It worked. The play worked. If he can get that ball into the end zone, then maybe we're talking a little bit differently.
Jump ball like the 15.
I know, but so I can't believe you don't think that he should be able to make it from there.
That's why I'm asking you. I just don't know how far an NFL quarterback should be able to throw the football with everything he's got. Well, like you see guys from like the 50,
you'll
throw
it,
but they throw it high to give time, you know, for whatever. I wonder how far you can throw it. You're telling me 70.
I think if
because he needed 70.
If you're throwing
Josh Allen
Mary,
can throw it 70 from his knees. Patrick Mahomes, we've seen videos. We've seen videos of him just kind of tossing it, just chucking, just flicking it, not even really putting any of his hips into it, just flicking it over there as it sails through the air. Like he's got no arm strength. Like what we're doing is we're watching all these younger models of Cam Newton. We're watching Deshaun Watson. Hey, Cam's a mentor. Look at him. You think Deshaun Watson, if he wanted to heave it, that he couldn't get it 70 yards?
I just Googled this. Josh Allen hits goalpost 50 yards away from his knees.
On his
Josh
all
Allen
day
shows
long.
Up arm strength with an 80-yard throw.
I'm telling you, wait, and so he's not alone.
Josh Allen could throw it 100 yards.
All day long.
He says 80.
All Guys, day long.
Let me give you one more one more problem.
Look up Patrick Mahomes.
Now, let me give you one more problem with Cam Newton. I know we sound like we're picking on him, and he's been fine. He wasn't the reason they lost the game yesterday. Though I don't think.
Now what do you have? Hold on, Glenn. Who do you have now?
I'm watching a video of Pat Mahomes from his knees throwing it 65 yards.
There you go.
From his knees. These guys, they're
from his knees. We got to get one of those guys.
Here's the other thing, Glenn. He also threw the ball. Like, he had 5 yards to give.
Yeah.
He had 5 yards. He threw it. He could have cheated. He still wouldn't have made it to the end zone. But I just feel like your quarterback should be able to throw it 70 yards.
Saquon.
In his sleep.
50 yards from one knee.
He hit the goalpost.
Saquon.
Listen, I think we all know that
quarterback.
He is like simply not the solution. Let me give you another one. How is it that
But he's not the problem.
How would these...
Okay, I'll say
he
that.
Isn't. He isn't.
Not, but he's not the solution long term. This team is not going anywhere with him as the quarterback long term. How about the free rushers in his face from the right side? Not the blind side, the right side. Now,
that's
granted,
getting weird.
You could look at it. This happened an awful lot this year. You could look at it and say, is he making the mistake with the call at the line of scrimmage? What is going wrong? Because they've got an empty backfield, and he's getting crushed by a guy coming to his right off the edge, untouched. Does he see him? Does he not? And it's face-to-face, and he's to the ground.
That's, I know there was some talk after the game and this morning, a lot of people writing about him not seeing the blitzes or maybe calling coverage or whatever it might be, but not seeing this guy coming from his right. Like, there's been two or three of them, and we saw one last night where you're just like, oh, my God, they're going to kill him. Doesn't he see him?
No.
Like, duck. Like just spin. Take a step. Try to move.
Is it an eyesight problem?
He is standing still, and this guy's running 15 yards as fast as he can to kill him, and you can actually see it, and it's going to happen, and it's like he doesn't see him. And it's coming, not from the blind side,
yeah,
but like right kind of in front of him off to the right. You should be able to see that, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I know. I mean, and he takes the hit, too.
But he doesn't even, like the last minute, he doesn't duck. Like he literally doesn't see the guy at all. He's going to get killed.
No, I mean, listen, if he's so big and just thick that those hits, I mean, he is. You see him, but he's such a guy. And he's long that hits don't have the effect on him that they would some other kid, some other quarterback who's a little bit more thinner. Now what are you looking at? Who? Now what?
No, he keeps Brian's looking him up.
I just
now.
Found a video of Jameis Winston throwing the ball over at like a frat house in Florida State.
But it got intercepted.
Yeah, it got run back to another frat.
Some pick six.
Sorority took it off. Took it the other way.
Listen, I don't understand what is going on. And at one point they had protection on the left side with Izzo, and Izzo got pancaked himself. And they got to close to the quarterback.
Yeah, I can't even do it anymore. It's not even fair.
But I don't know what he's seeing there or what he's calling because clearly you know that that guy is uncovered on that side. Nobody is going to chip him. Nobody is picking up on him. And he's not aware that that guy's coming at him.
It is bizarre. It's weird.
It is
looking.
Bizarre. Yeah. I have no idea. This hour brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, now open in Denham, next to Legacy Northeast Men's Health. It's in Salem, Hampshire, and Denham, right next door to Legacy Place. We get back to your phone calls. And if you missed Bill Belichick from earlier in the program, it was a just a love fest between him and Lou. We'll let you hear some of
it. By far the most uncomfortable one I've ever had.
I'm going to say this. I didn't think I did. Ever. You know, I think this was my favorite one of all time.
Why? Because your reaction when I during our back and forth was like that face right there.
Lou? But no. Here's the problem.
Is the video on you when I'm going back and forth?
If you could have seen my facial expressions.
Glenn's head was down.
He couldn't see. Oh, my God. So I was like, I was laughing and egging him on at the same time. Like, don't stop. Go again.
Maybe it's the hat. I don't know. I was in the mood today.
Totally was the hat. What? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, what'd you say? What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.